Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, July 30, 2023, Romans.
All right, if we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are studying the great doctrine, one of the most important doctrines to know in the church age, the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. We are at point seven, the application of the baptism of the Spirit. And we have three principles of application. We studied the first one. The first principle of application is there is racial equality in union with Christ. This is from Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28. And the phrase there is neither Jew nor Greek. And that means that the baptism of the Spirit provides racial equality in the church. We studied that. Now we're second principle of application. There is social equality in union with Jesus Christ. There is social equality in union with Christ. The second principle of application. Subpoint one, this comes from the phrase, there is neither slave nor free. And that phrase, there is neither slave nor free, means that the baptism of the Spirit provides social equality in union with Jesus Christ. Now, at the time that the Apostle Paul wrote these things, he was living at the time of the Roman Empire. And there was a tremendous number of slaves. And many of the slaves were among the first church age believers. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, subpoint two, this refers to social distinctions as they existed at the time that Paul was writing. At the time he wrote Galatians 3, 26 to 28, and when he wrote 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. So this refers to social distinctions as they existed at the time that the Apostle Paul wrote these. Three, from the moment you believe in Christ, you are no longer to look at other believers in terms of social distinctions. From that moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are no longer to look at other believers in terms of social distinctions. Four, you are no longer to regard any person as being socially beneath you or above you. You are no longer to regard any person as being socially beneath you or above you. Subpoint 5. Social distinctions are totally removed through the baptism of the Spirit. We are one in union with Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. No racial distinction. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one. One in union with Jesus Christ. The third principle of application. There is gender equality in union with Christ. There is gender equality in union with Christ. Subpoint 1, the phrase "there is neither male nor female" means the baptism of the Spirit provides gender equality in union with Christ. Now, at one time there was a phrase, boys will always be boys and girls will always be girls, and the difference between the two is obvious, but we're so degenerate in this country, that's not true anymore. Subpoint 2. Now we have boys trying to be girls and girls trying to be boys. And they're even willing to go in and do surgery. That is the craziest thing of all. Subpoint 2. However, the point here is that the old cultural, psychological distinctions which have been used for years, that one sex is better than the other, are all gone. They're all gone with the baptism of the Spirit. So the point here is that the old cultural psychological distinctions which have been used for years, that one sex is better than the other, are all gone with the baptism of the Spirit. What does that mean? Subpoint 3. This means both male and female are just as much in union with Christ, just as much royal family of God as the other. This means both male and female are just as much in union with Christ, just as much royal family of God as the other. So subpoint 4. As a believer, to say that you are better than a man, if you're a woman talking, if you are better than a man or better than a woman, at that point you are totally out of line and you are arrogant. So as a believer, to say that you are better than a man or a woman means you are out of line with the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. 5. Now, there is authority. This does not change authority or the authority principle. And that stands as absolute truth in the Word of God. So this does not change authority principles, that as they are revealed in the God-breathed Scriptures. But 6, subpoint 6, remember, authority does not connote superiority in the royal family of God. It does not connote superiority. So whether it's the husband as the head over the wife, or it's the pastor having authority. And the highest spiritual authority in the post-canon period of the church age is the pastor-teacher. But that doesn't mean superiority. That just means authority. In the pre-canon period of the church age, the highest spiritual authority was the apostle. We're in the post-canon period of the church age, from 96 AD to today, the highest spiritual authority is the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. But that does not connote superiority. So authority does not connote superiority in the royal family of God. Subpoint 7. In your spiritual life, you no longer look at a man or a woman through love or hate, but spiritually you regard them as a member of the royal family of God. In your spiritual life, you no longer look at a man or a woman through love or hate, but spiritually, you regard them as a member of the royal family of God. So, point 8. So, as we look at other believers, we must regard them as being just as much royal family of God as we are. When we look at other believers, we must regard them as being just as much royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ as we are. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul summarizes this principle with the phrase, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. All three occur at the point of salvation. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And this means, one, that we are royal family of God. As royal family of God, we have the same Lord. As royal family of God, we have the same Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord of every believer because of the baptism of the Spirit. So this means we as royal family of God have the same Lord, one Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord of every believer because of the baptism of the Spirit. Two, one faith. One faith means we all enter into union with Christ the same way. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So one faith means we all enter into union with Christ the same way. Faith alone and Christ alone apart from any and all works. And third, one baptism. One baptism refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation, which unites us. It unites us. We are one. Racial equality, social equality, gender equality. So one baptism refers to the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, which unites us. Racial equality, social equality, gender equality. That's the application of the baptism of the Spirit. Now point 8, the results of the baptism of the Spirit. The results of the baptism of the Spirit. Point 1, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, the believer is a new spiritual species. A new spiritual species. And I like that the translation. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and we have the phrase when a communicator of the Word of God with the gift of pastor teacher is looking at this from the Greek, every time you see this, you see en Christo. That's the dative form, Christo is Christos. But here's the preposition en, that's in Christo, C-H-R-I-S-T. And it's a long O because that's dative, but that's from Christos. In Christ. That's very technical. Very, very technical. In Christ. We are in Christ. How did we get in Christ? Because we believed in Christ. What happens when we believe in Christ? God the Holy Spirit baptizes us, identifies us with Jesus Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth, identifies us with Christ in His resurrection, current positional truth. And where are we? We are in Christ. In Christ. Very technical phrase. So we got in Christo, in Jesu Christo. We got every time that is a very technical phrase. So we have here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's identified with Jesus Christ, you're in union with Jesus Christ, the current positional truth, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, he is a kainos katesis. No way. You know what? You want to be one? Yeah, you want to be one of those. Kainos new and katesis. K-T-I-S-I-S. Now, katesis is the noun that comes from the verb katizo. Looks like that. K-T-I-Z, long O. Katizo is the verb to create. To create. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, union with Christ is the result of the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new katesis. Katesis comes from katizo, to create. Katesis means creation. A kainos katesis, a new creation. And that new creation, the NASV that I have here has a new creature. A new creature. And but I really like the Colonel took this and made a new spiritual species. And that, I really think, nails it right on the head. And so, a new creation, that's fine if you understand what that means. A new creature, that's fine if you know what that means. A new spiritual species. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, he is a new spiritual species, a new katesis. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come to pass. Subpoint two. We are a new spiritual species. We are a new creation. Because we are now the church universal. Now we are the royal family of God. Now we are the body of Christ. So we are a new creation. We are a new spiritual species because we are the church universal, the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Now, there have only been two new species created in all of human history. Just two new species created in all of human history. First of all, Israel. Israel was created as a new racial species. Israel was created as a new racial species, and then the church universal, we are created as a new spiritual species. So there's only been two new species created in human history. Israel was created as a new racial species. The church created as a new spiritual species. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit, this new spiritual species was created which makes no racial distinctions in union with Christ, no social distinctions in union with Christ, no gender distinctions in union with Christ. Subpoint three. As a new spiritual species, the old things have lost their power. The old things have lost their power. And that is the old sin nature, as the ruler of human life, has lost its power. And you can only give it back its power experientially through the function of your own volition and negative volition to sin. But the old sin nature, as the ruler of human life, has lost its power. Satan, as the ruler of the world, has lost his power over the church age believer. And you can only give it back to him by sinning and getting into his cosmic system and living in the cosmic system. And the old things, well, the old things include all of your time as an unbeliever, genetic handicaps, volitional handicaps, environmental handicaps. Whatever were your handicaps before salvation, they have lost their power over you and are no longer the handicaps to keep you from living the spiritual life, to keep you from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to keep you from glorifying God to the maximum. So whatever were your handicaps before you, your salvation, all, whatever your handicaps were as an unbeliever, they have lost their power over you and are no longer the handicaps to keep you from living the spiritual life, from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and glorifying God to the maximum. Four. Subpoint four. As a new spiritual species, new things have come. Here we are, a new creation, a new spiritual species in union with Christ. New things have come. And what are these new things that have come? Well, first of all, the baptism of the Spirit. Secondly, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And that universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit indwells every one of you the moment you believe in Christ. That makes your body a temple. There are no sacred buildings today in the church age, but your bodies are a sacred building. Every one of you here, as a believer, your body is a sacred building. God the Holy Spirit indwells your body, makes it a temple. Why? So that now the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can indwell you, as well as God the Father can indwell you. So the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit makes our body a temple for the indwelling of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Third, the unique spiritual life of the church age. A supernatural way of life called newness of life. Now we're in union with Christ. God has so that we can have newness of life, this unique spiritual life, a supernatural way of life that demands supernatural power for its execution. And that's the fourth thing, the provision of the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. God has graciously given us the divine power, the filling of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Against these things there is no law. Walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And fifth, he has given us two unique royal commissions. Two unique royal commissions. We have a royal priesthood. You're all priests. Every one of you, you're a priest. The universal priesthood of the church age believer. But we are royal priests. So we have our royal priesthood, and as a royal priest, we represent ourselves before God. This is invisible. And from our royal priesthood, we You assemble in a sound Bible teaching church such as this one. You start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And what happens? You develop virtue love. You develop two great motivational virtues. Personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ. And both of these are invisible. Now you're sitting here, I'm looking at you. Ooh, what a congregation you are. I see the outside. I see the body. I can't see if you have personal love for God. I can't see that. That's invisible. I can't see if you have occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at your heart. And every single day, God is looking at your heart to see if you have personal love for God and occupation with Christ. Those are the two great motivational virtues. That's invisible. The second royal commission is our royal ambassadorship. We have all been commissioned an ambassador for Jesus Christ. When you fulfill the motivational virtues, personal love for God and occupation with Christ, that will motivate you. That will motivate you to have the great functional virtue, which is impersonal love for all. And that is visible. Once you have the two great motivational virtues, personal love for God and occupation with Christ, which are invisible, that will motivate you to have the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all. That's where you represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. God has commissioned every one of you as an ambassador for Jesus Christ to present the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That is visible. And both man and angels see that, witness that. So we have these two unique royal commissions. We are all commissioned a royal priest and a royal ambassador. Six, we have the unique mysterion, mystery doctrine, church age truth. It's unique to this dispensation, never known about in Old Testament times. Seven, this is the dispensation of invisible heroes. So these are the new things that have come as a new creation, as a new spiritual species. These are the new things that have come. Subpoint five, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, our union with Christ has removed certain things. It has removed all barriers of arrogant prejudice. Removed all barriers of arrogant prejudice. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It's removed all barriers of arrogant prejudice, all barriers of antagonism and systems of discrimination. It has removed all racial prejudice, all sexual discrimination, all cultural and social barriers, all economic antagonism, all class distinctions, all personality conflicts and antagonisms, all political and ideological differences, all environmental subjectivity, all pre-salvation religious prejudice. So as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, our union with Christ has removed all of these things. That's Galatians 3:26-28. All barriers of arrogant prejudice, all barriers of antagonism and systems of discrimination, all racial prejudice, all sexual discrimination, all cultural and social barriers, all economic antagonisms, all class distinctions, all personality conflicts and antagonisms, all political and ideological differences, all environmental subjectivity, all pre-salvation religious prejudice. Subpoint 6, positional sanctification. Union with Christ makes every believer higher than the angels. Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. We are higher than the angels. And I'm sure a lot of the elect angels are still talking to Jesus Christ about that one. And subpoint 7, every church age believer is an heir of God and a joint heir with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Every church age believer is an heir of God and a joint heir with the Son of God. Subpoint 8, the baptism of the Spirit provides the unity in the body of Christ. And I'm going to give you subpoint 9, but we're going to look at this in great detail next Sunday. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, we share everything that Christ has. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, we share everything that Christ has. And we will look at that in great detail next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege we've had this morning to fellowship with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.